The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
August the 6th, be with you on a Thursday morning. Welcome on in. It is a numbers game. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That's Kelly Bidlin. Shout out to Shania. We made it, boys and girls. Football is back. The Hall of Fame game tonight. Kelly and I are all over it throughout the program. We're also going to examine the NFL preseason depth charts, the quarterback situations that we think are worth looking at week in, week out as we get ready for the regular season. It is right around the corner. Plenty to look at on the program, including most fewest wins in the National Football League as we preview the season. College football betting guide is out. There is a team that everyone should be buying in on, but for some reason, people are a little trepidatious. Matt Eumanns wrote about it. We'll tell you who that is later on in the show. And we got a fun guest list lined up, Kelly, today.
Yeah, we do.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, I'm fired up to talk with Fozzie Whitaker, played at Texas. Want to discuss the expectations for Arch Manning, Steve Sarkisian, also a former member of the Carolina Panthers. Is he believing in his boys as they get set to defend their NFC South title this season? We have a lot to get to with Zachary Cohen as far as college football is concerned, a win total that he likes in the upcoming season. We've been talking a lot about the NFC South. So with that, we're going to go straight to the source. Ovi Mihaly, former Falcons fullback, hosts the Believe in Falcons podcast. A lot of people at the network like Atlanta to win that division. I don't understand it. I don't see it. Maybe Ovi can convince me a little bit later on in the show. And then we stay in the state of Georgia as Mark Schlabaugh is going to join us. We're going to talk college football with him because back to the Fozzie Whitaker conversation with Texas versus Georgia in the SEC. I believe that Texas is the most talented team in that league. I believe Texas is the best team in that league. I am picking Georgia to win the SEC conference because they have Kirby Smart. And on the other sideline is Steve Sarkisian. We'll ask Mark Schlabaugh if that is a fair assessment of that league. But we begin, my friend, with news out of the National Football League. How about this? Jonathan Taylor and the Indianapolis Colts agreed to a two-year, $44 million extension as we were wiping the crusties out of our eyes this morning. $39 million of the deal is guaranteed. He was going to be a free agent next offseason. So they wanted to get this done, wanted to ensure he stays on the roster. He's coming off a year of 1,585 yards, 18 touchdowns, career high 46 receptions, 378 receiving yards. This is a guy that I had a year ago, 27-1, to be the offensive player of the year, and I was already spending that money through like week 7.
It was looking damn good.
then the Daniel Jones injury happened, and things kind of fell back to the pack. What do you make of Indy locking up their running back here for a couple seasons?
Yeah, timing, right? Timing. We talked about this a lot with Bijan Robinson. If you were going to go in this direction in the offseason, you might as well do it now because we know who else is sitting out there waiting to get paid. Jahmyr Gibbs, right? Might as well get this contract in before he gets paid and this price tag goes up even more. So, yeah, I think this is a no-brainer. Jonathan Taylor, one of the best running backs in the NFL, like you said, through a large part of the season a year ago, looked like one of the most powerful forces in the NFL. And look, this is a good offensive line that he can run behind. I think he should have another big season ahead.
Yeah, it's a guy that, look, he is currently 22-1 to win Offensive Player of the Year. Normally coming into the season, that would be a guy at the top of my charts that I'm looking to bet on just because I love the number. I love the situation. You have a scheme that is very dependent on him. And if Daniel Jones is healthy, you feel like that takes a little bit of pressure off Taylor to get some open looks there running the football. The problem is, as we were getting ready for the season, this is about a month ago, the Colts running back coach was quoted as saying he wanted to give Taylor a little bit less of a workload, wanted to mix in some of the other running backs more, so later in the year he will have a little bit more fresher legs and be available to them. That's why I can't bet him at 22-1. He could still win the award. He can make us look foolish. But at this point of talking season, if there's information out there that you can either guide you towards a bet or away from a bet, I'm going to use DeAndre Smith's quote that, quote, definitely need to find ways to take some of that workload off. It's very hard for me to bet someone offensive player of the year if I'm going to be told that he's going to be managed with the reps.
Yeah, I hear you. I also think these are great things for coaches to say until they realize that DJ Giddens and Seth McGowan aren't giving them enough on the ground and Jonathan Taylor's a little too good to go away from. So yeah, it's a good plan until you need those hard yards from your best running back.
Yeah, everyone's got a plan until they get hit, right? Mm-hmm. That's the deal. Where are you at with the South Division? Because right now, win total for Indianapolis, 7.5. The juice is actually on the over at -140. And looking at the odds, they're the third shot on the betting board. Houston +110. The Jaguars +245, Kelly. Indy is +380. The Titans are 8-1. I think everyone is very high on Tennessee and being improved this year, and I understand it. I think it's absolutely fair.
Yeah.
I think we've probably gone a little bit too far year one of Robert Saleh, even though I do agree with the assessment that he kind of got a raw deal with the Jets. Mm-hmm. And we're going to find out if he can actually coach. But Indy at +380, if you go back to when Daniel Jones was healthy a year ago, and I told you when they were on that heater that you could get the Colts the following year at +380, you never would have believed me.
Yeah, no, not at that exact moment. No, yeah, that exact moment. But, man, this is – the Colts are one of the toughest teams in the NFL for me to figure out this year, right? I mean, just because of what we saw last year, right? I don't know how you can actually be certain in this team one way or the other heading into this year. Good on you if you are, because I'm not. I mean, you saw some really good stuff out of that team. You saw them not look as great, and then obviously an injury to the quarterback on the back half of the season. That's a big deal. We've talked about this a little bit. I'm definitely higher Texans, Jags at the top of the division. I think you're right on Tennessee that we've probably gotten a little too excited too early about this team. But, you know, could they get 6-7 wins right around their win total? Yeah, I think that's possible. And the Colts, man, I think they're probably the team I'm the most off on in this division. I think this could be anywhere from 5 wins to 11 wins, and I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, last year, an 8-2 start post-bye after the Jones injury, they finished 8-9.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a 7-game losing streak to end your regular season, but they have a running back. They have Jonathan Taylor, and all the reports are saying that Daniel Jones looks pretty healthy thus far in camp. It is a numbers game. Welcome into Thursday. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Kelly Bidlin. And as we wake up this morning, we have a new favorite in the NL MVP market. Because in case you missed it, the Los Angeles Dodgers have lost 6 games in a row. They Whoa. Were just swept in Wrigley by the Chicago Cubs by 0-5 for the Dodgers at Wrigley Field going back a couple years now. But the story is what's happening in the MVP market, because Pete Crow Armstrong, anywhere from -120 to -130. You can get even money on Shohei Ohtani right now for National League MVP. Cubs won 7-6 yesterday. PCA had 2 home runs, 4 RBI. Ohtani had 3 hits as well, 2 home runs in his own right, and 3 RBI. But how about this run the Dodgers are on? And I love that it's coming right on the heels of acquiring Tarek Skubal at the deadline, where I was told that they're just going to make a mockery of all of Major League Baseball. And now they're 0-6. And they've been outscored 42-22 during this losing streak with a team ERA of 6.88.
Yeah, that's not great. That is not great there, Dustin. The one I want to play the Scottie Scheffler game that Gil always plays with me. Okay, Dodgers +160 to win the World Series. How many games would they have to lose here for this to get out to 2-1 even?
Well, here's the problem. If it gets back out to 2-1 or north, people like... So they learned a lesson last year. I don't know if people, you know, you bet it. So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I got 5-1 literally before the first game of the playoffs started.
Right.
You got around.
Something like that. Yeah.
I know Mitch Moss had like 7-1, but I think the books learned a lesson last year that if the Dodgers scuffle down the stretch like they did last season, and this number balloons north of +250, they know people like you and me are going to go, well, this is a principal play because I believe it's completely wide open. If you're going to start to give me really good numbers where I can lock in opportunities based on the other tickets that I have, like that was my mindset a year ago. I had liability on, I think, 4 or 5 different playoff teams. And I was like, okay, well, here's where we are. I only had 1 or 2 teams miss the playoffs that I had World Series or pennant futures on. Well, I'm just going to make sure that I can't lose. And the only way I lose, I believe, is if the Dodgers win. So I took the Dodgers 5-1. If the Dodgers get north of 2.5-1 again, people like you and me are just going to slam it.
I don't even know if we'll see that number in the regular season. It would have to be catastrophic down the stretch here for them. Like, it would have to be terrible. I don't think the book. I think the books. Yeah, you said it perfectly, Dustin. But I think we're at that point already. Like, I think it would take a lot of losses here over the next month or so for that to actually get out to over 2-1.
Yeah, and as far as MVP is concerned, PCA is winning the award. Simple as that. He's the MVP. I love Shohei Ohtani. I acknowledge the historical relevance of what he's doing over the last few years, but he doesn't play the field. He's not pitching anymore. He gets credit for the starts that he had early in the year, but PCA also gets credit for being a Gold Glove defender at a premium position in center field and leading the charge offensively for this team. I saw that Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN, put this out there. What has been the reason for PCA surge this season? Well, against left-handed pitching, his OPS went from 594 last year to 937.
It was pretty good.
This kid's becoming a complete player. And I have no skin in the game, by the way. I wish I did. I have so much FOMO of not having a 70-1, 80-1, like a lot of people have tweeted me that they've had for months. I wish I jumped in on that. It just, when you looked up and Shohei Ohtani was minus, I think, 1,400 early in the year, you just, sometimes you believe the market. Mm. And because the market is telling you as well, is the people who vote for this award, they want to be a part of history. They feel like they have a role. So when they can just hand the award to Ohtani when he's having a great year, they're going to try and do so. But if you look at the offensive numbers, Shohei Ohtani is not having an Ohtani season. Okay.
Yep.
He is not putting up the numbers that are so ultra dominant that we're used to. He has 26 homers and 70 RBIs. He's probably going to finish with 35 to 40. He's going to drive in 100 something. He's going to score well over 100 something because he's in the leadoff spot. And his average is better this year than it normally is. But that doesn't take away from what PCA is doing. PCA as a whole, as an entire player, I think deserves this award.
So is this number still bettable? Because this is, we now have finally seen the flip.
I don't
bet. Dustin, there's a chance we come back here on Monday and this is minus 160.
Yeah, I mean, you could play the, let me just take the plus price over as it fluctuates, but I don't like betting these awards when they're that short.
So you think it toggles back and forth still here?
Unless you're already pot committed, I don't touch it.
Okay.
All right, well, Texas or Georgia, who wins the SEC? We'll break it down on the other side of a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a numbers game. Dustin Sweetelson filling in here for Gil Alexander. Don't worry, y'all. Gil's back, we think, on Monday.
We think. We'll see.
At what point do you start to confirm that?
Oh, he'll be back. You know what? Gil would let me know. He would text me and be like, by the way, I'm just not coming back ever.
Well, not coming back ever. I'm talking about when's he going to decide the vacation's over, because the summer of Swede's ending Sunday, as we've acknowledged. I go back to cashing out. But when does the world tour of Gil Alexander, who could pop up anywhere like Carmen Sandiego, end?
He should be back, but yeah, will I be surprised if he's like, yeah, but ask about doing another week or two on remote?
No, that would not surprise me at all.
I wouldn't either. Now, with Danny Higgins returned from Montana, I've got open-ended questions about my entire show here.
Oh, yeah, you're working like it's COVID times here.
That's right.
You're a totally remote member of the team.
I really am. Me and the crew, we always got each other's back.
Can I tell you this? I'm so anti-Zoom culture right now.
Me too.
I'm planning a wedding, and they all want to Zoom, which I hate, because you know what happens is you can just schedule them going, it's not a big deal. We'll pop on a Zoom. It's not a big deal. We'll pop on a Zoom. Well, guess what? We had like 3 Zooms yesterday.
Yeah, and then it's how many people were involved. It always takes longer than you think it's going to.
Then the problem is now I have like another Zoom today, and then there's another Zoom there. How about this? Let's inconvenience ourselves, and if it's worth it, we meet in person.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
If I think you're worth the time, you think I'm worth the time, we'll meet in person.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea of like Zoom is okay, I'd like to go back to the old days.
There's also like, if you need something from me, just call me. Like, just call me, text me. Like, do we need a plan of time for 6 of us to get on and have the conversation?
All right, it's time to talk a little SEC football. I'm fired up for this conversation. Fozzie Whitaker is going to join us here. Former NFL running back, ESPN college football analyst. You can find him on X over at Fozzie Witt. There. And Fozzie, thanks for doing this, man. And I want to start with your alma mater in Texas, because the expectations, I mean, you know this, they're always high, but with NIL, the transfer portal, the return of Arch Manning, feels like Steve Sarkisian has a lot of pressure on him this year. They're the third betting favorite in the market to win the national title at 7.5 to 1. What does Steve Sarkisian have to do in your eyes for this to be a successful season?
Yeah, number one, I appreciate you having me on, man. It's been miraculous talking about football, just going through ESPN college football seminar the past 2 days. We are almost there, to the finish line. But for Texas fans, graduate and alum like myself, Steve Sarkisian has to win it all. I think that's the expectation. That's the goal. That's what he's worked towards striving for. That's why the kids that he brought in, whether it was through the recruiting ranks or the transfer portal, that's why they are here in 2026 for this football season, is to bring home the big trophy. And you don't make the moves that he did without realizing those expectations as well. Year number six for him, his resume has spoken for itself, but Texas still hasn't gotten over the hump of, number one, winning the SEC title, which is a big deal, and then number two, making it to the championship game, and then number three, winning that national championship. And he's made great strides since he's taken over the program in Austin, but I think still that final expectation is to be able to win it all. And I think more pressure was added because of what Kurt Cignetti has done at Indiana over the past two seasons, especially going undefeated a year ago and doing the probably most improbable thing that we've ever seen in modern day college sports, or really any sports. That's where the pressure is added on for Steve Sarkisian, who's now made, you know, these offseason moves to bring in a Cam Coleman, to bring in Rasheem Biles, to bring in, you know, all of the help on the offensive line and in the secondary to be able to make sure that Texas won't be inadequate whenever their time is called to be able to try to win a national championship this upcoming football season.
Fozzie Whitaker is our guest, former Longhorn, ESPN college football analyst. It is wild to say it out loud. In an era where you can spend as much money as you want to put together a college football team, Indiana's won a title before the Texas Longhorns have won one. Talk to me about Arch Manning, man, because I got to tell you, there were moments last year where I saw what everyone else saw with the big recruit and him being one of the favorites for the Heisman Trophy right now, but there was also some very weird down moments. Do you put that on Arch Manning, and do you believe that he is rightfully up there as one of the betting favorites to win the Heisman this year?
I do think he deserves to be one of the betting favorites with the Heisman. How he started his season last year as a first-year starter was not truly indicative of where he finished last year. And I think that's a product of what Steve Sarkisian believes in, who he has as a recruit, his ability to manage and develop quarterbacks, not just year over year, but within the course of the season. We saw a different maturation process happen with Arch Manning. And like you mentioned, it was not all glamour and glitz from week one. You look at last year against Ohio State, going to the Shoe and playing the game that they did, it looked very, very questionable about how good Arch Manning was going to be. You look at the Florida game as well, another game that Texas lost, and those questions popped up and surrounded him again. You start going past that, and you start kind of realizing the potential that Arch Manning could have. And then he started realizing that potential towards the end of the season. The Vanderbilt game is a good example. The Texas A&M game is another great example. Even the bowl game against Michigan at the end of the year, that's another great example of starting the season one way and then finishing it strong in another way. And then the statistical categories that he was able to be a part of, whether it was passing touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, total yardage, yards per rush, those started to accumulate as well. And I think that's really a hats-off job that Steve Sarkisian was able to take a guy that was never started at the collegiate level before on the stage that he started on it, with the pressure and everything that garners around having a Manning last name, and then getting him settled in throughout the course of the season and allowing him to play to his strengths and become a better version of himself. If he's able to pick up where he left off at the end of last season against that Michigan team, that's where the Heisman odds, that's where the hype around Texas competing for a SEC and national championship can come around, and you added some more flavor around him in the transfer portal. That's where you start to see Arch Manning really realize that potential that so many people had tabbed on him. And I think that's where you're going to see his best increase year over year, is how he started the last year versus where he's going to start this year. I think he'll be markedly better than what we saw on display in Ohio State week one in 2025.
man. I'm be rooting for Arch this year. I hope he crushes. I hope he crushes, Fozzie. Okay, looking at the rest of the SEC quick. We got about 2 minutes left here with you, Fozzie. Georgia, Texas, the short shots here. They're the favorites in the betting odds. And then we jump down to A&M, Alabama, LSU. How wide open do you think this conference is, or is it really Georgia, Texas right at the top?
No, I think it's still wide open. Nobody has really given, in my opinion, Ole Miss the most benefit of the doubt. You look at the coaches poll, you look at the media poll from SEC Media Day, the top 25. I think they bring back the best quarterback in the conference in Trinidad Chambliss, and then you bring in probably the best running back in the conference as well in Kewon Lacy. Obviously, the transfer portal and the whole Lane Kiffin saga happened, and everything has now kind of settled in a little bit. But I think Ole Miss is right there in the mix to be able to compete for a SEC championship. You mentioned Alabama. Nobody's really given Alabama a chance. And that's scary to say in this time with Kalen DeBoer and his track record. All he does is win. It doesn't matter where he's at. And then we forget, like, although they lost the SEC championship game, they made it to the SEC championship game. And then they also won against Oklahoma round one of the playoffs. And so being able to build off of that, that Alabama team will be in contention. New look LSU with Lane Kiffin, new quarterback. Like, I think he'll have them in a markedly better place. So there are so many teams that I think will impact the SEC title race. I do believe it's more wide open than just Georgia and Texas.
Fozzie, you're awesome, man. Would love to chat with you again throughout the college football season. We'll see you on ESPN throughout the year and on X at Fozzie Witt. Thanks so much for the time, man. Looking forward to chatting again.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. And football is back tonight.
We made it.
NFL, baby. Let's go.
We made it. Let's go. We survived. Oh, survive in advance. Thank God for that World Cup. I got to tell you.
Yeah, for real. For real,
you know, we should do that every year. We should do something.
Really should.
We should have some soccer every year to look forward to. But as Fozzie alluded to, football season, it's right around the corner. Technically, some would say it starts tonight. And just like the players, you need your reps before week one. The Sharps has a free weekly league that lets you practice the same football plays you already study. Prop, sides, totals, combos. Everyone starts with 10,000 chips. Build your stack, climb the leaderboard, and sharpen your reads before the season kicks off. Enter at jointhesharps.com or scan the QR code on the screen and use code VEASAN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. That's jointhesharps.com and use promo code VSIN50. When we return on the program, the Hall of Fame game is here. How we want to attack that and which quarterback depth charts jump out to us to bet on in the NFL preseason.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, buddy, back at it on a numbers game. Dustin Sweetelson with Kelly Bidlin coming at you from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. This place was popping yesterday. Bet Bash currently underway.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you,
it's quiet right now, though. Everybody's sleeping.
Well,
everybody's sleeping it off.
I think a lot of people got the social experience yesterday.
Yeah.
And it probably went into the wee hours of the morning as you and I were waking up this morning. That is my guess.
I really enjoy Bet Bash. There is a lot of smart, sharp dudes out here, and you're going to hear a lot about plus EV moves from them. There's some minus EV moves that end up happening that night, though, I think.
Yeah, it is a negative EV move if you spend the whole night out in Las Vegas, especially early. It's one, like, we live here, it's a little bit different. But I think now knowing how the town operates, I would very particularly plan my nights. So it's like night one, you take it easy. Night two, you can push it a little bit. Night three, you want to go pretty hard, do it. And then night four, go as far as you want to go because you're traveling back the next day. Just make sure you can make your flight.
See, that's interesting because that's the it's great that everybody has a plan like this for Valley. Las Vegas. Then you land in Las Vegas. And let's get a drink.
And the endorphins are going.
Let's hit the tables. Let's get a drink. And then 8 hours later, you're like, what happened?
Yeah,
what happened all that money already in night one?
Where's my money? And this girl's not texting me back. She asked for a Venmo request after I got her number. That's weird.
She was so sweet.
She said I have to Zelle her to continue the conversation. Why is that happening? Well, The ATM that is the NFL, it is back. It is back, baby. Well,
Kai's confident.
Depending on who you are, the ATM going one way or the other, right? You could be the ATM, also the NFL could be your ATM.
There you go.
The Hall of Fame game is tonight. The Carolina Panthers, the Arizona Cardinals, Canton, Ohio. Carolina's a 1.5-point favorite in this spot. The total, 35 and a hook. Kelly, you've been here for a long time as the trends on the Hall of Fame game and preseason in general have really changed. For such a long time, it was under. Well, guess what? The numbers have been adjusted since then. As far as betting sides in the NFL preseason, I think the little experiment you want to do here, looking at the quarterback depth charts, that's probably the best way to look at this thing because, to me, you have to figure out where these teams or how these teams are operating. Mm-hmm. What types of quarterbacks they're looking at, what type of leash these guys are going to get out there. And also, are they allowed to be themselves and do their thing when they're on the field?
Right.
But in terms of the Hall of Fame game tonight, Steve Mackinnon had a really good write-up over at VSiN.com that I encourage everyone to check out here because this game consistently, because it's the first one, it's unique compared to a lot of the others. This total has dropped a point. It was 36.5. It's now 35.5. At 36.5, it was the highest posted total since 2012. Underdogs have gone 7-4 straight up, 8-2-1 against the spread going back to 2013. The over is on a 4-0 run after going 7-2 to the under previously in 9 seasons. When the line is flipped, the new favorite's 2-5-1 against the spread since 2015, and the under is 6-1 on a total 34 or higher. I don't really have a sharp way of attacking this, but I just think based on these guys being amped up and the quarterback matchup we're going to see, Carson Beck facing Kenny Pickett to start things out. Eventually, Haynes King is going to come in.
Yep.
And Haynes King is a guy that I want to back in a preseason game. Why? Well, he uses his legs.
Yep.
And the plays are going to break down. And those passes aren't going to be there. And playing in the pocket because you're getting used to a system and everyone around you doesn't really know the system as well. I think that mobility is going to be key. I am going to do the non-correlated parlay for funsies, okay? This is not a sharp play. This is just my vibe, right? Sometimes you can do a little vibe heat check on a game. I think we're looking at a first half over with Carson Beck out with something to prove, trying to take Jacoby Brissett's job. Kenny Pickett wanting to prove that he belongs in the league. That situation there. I think we go over in the first half. I think we go under on the game. It paid out 4-1 when I put that together as a little parlay. Again,
wow,
it's not
okay.
Sure. It's not sure. There's no like real like numbers that lead you there. But to me, I just think if you go off the motivation for these quarterbacks, Carson Beck has a lot on the line here.
Sure.
And there's people who really like him as a potential Rookie of the Year candidate. If he's going to win that award, he's got to steal this job from Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, it's I think that is very unlikely to happen here in the preseason, but we'll see, right? You had all this talk with Brissett and Minshew through the beginning of the preseason. Yeah, current numbers on this, I'm actually surprised this has moved as much as it has. 1.5 out at DraftKings and FanDuel, most places I'm looking at on the board right now. This is down to a flat 1. We're a pick 'em here at a couple spots here in Las Vegas. Totals mainly 35. So under money coming in, I don't think any huge shock there. First thing that jumps out to me when I see a plus 1.5 and a 35.5, and I'll often bring this up during the preseason, let me go check my books and see if this is actually allowed to have a teaser on it during this game. No, at least for Caesars where they have the best teaser prices, they are not letting you do that for this game today because that would be I'd be looking at tease the Cardinals up to 7.5 and make that total up and play it under. Probably the way I'd be going. I think you hit on something big, like the sides. I never bet the sides on the Hall of Fame game.
Unless I just think that one team has a really interesting third quarterback battle.
Right. Yeah. Which, look, I think you maybe brought up. Like, I never bet sides. It would be heavy lean Carolina, though, because it is. You're going to get Kenny Pickett to start. You brought up Haynes King. There will be an emphasis later in the preseason. We have to get these quarterbacks to lock in on the playbook, especially the young quarterbacks, right? We need you to go through we need to go through all options in the play. We need you to go through the playbook. They're going to be some of these guys that are used to running are going to be asked to sit back there in the pocket and try to work through the progressions. But what you do get with a running quarterback, when it all breaks down, they're gonna tuck it and run, right? And they're gonna be more the guys that are more used to doing that in college, and the younger guys are gonna be quicker to do that in the NFL. And especially in a game like this, you've barely had any camp time. You've barely had any practice time. So which means Haynes King is probably going to be allowed to take off and run with it a little bit more because he's not expected to know the playbook as much.
Also, broken plays for the offense. And then the defense is unfamiliar with what they're going to see, which opens up opportunities for Haynes King's instincts to kick in. His instincts are read one, read two, I'm going to take off and run because that's where my bread is buttered here. Now, the depth chart for the Panthers real quick, Kelly.
Yeah.
Bryce Young, Kenny Pickett, Haynes King. That's all we know right now. I'm sure there's going to be guys deep down that are like non-roster invitee types that are trying to make the practice squad that are going to be involved. Arizona, Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew, Carson Beck, and Keaton Slovis, who was a huge recruit but bounced around in college football over the course of half a decade. But that is where we stand with these depth charts for these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Haynes King for at least half this game, if not more than that. It's going to be all Pickett and King for the most part. I mean, I have no idea what the Cardinals are going to do, right? You're going to start Carson Beck. I don't really know how much they're expecting to get out of him.
Can I? Why is Gardner Minshew here?
Why is he here?
Why is they just paid Jacoby Brissett to be the starter?
No, because they paid Gardner Minshew before they paid Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, no, but they went into the year thinking Jacoby Brissett was going to be on the team.
Right.
And then they drafted Carson back.
I don't know that they were fully confident they were going to be able to get Jacoby Brissett back.
He was under contract. It's just he wanted more money. He was making like $2.5 million.
He said,
well, if I'm going to be your starter, you have to pay me more than $2.5 million.
I think the biggest one is you have to pay me more than Gardner Minshew, where they just signed for like on a 1 year.
I guess my point is like Gardner Minshew should be in a better spot than this. Not maybe I'm caught up in the mustache hype from years ago. But,
yeah, I think so.
But anyway, let's look at our favorite depth charts for the preseason that we're thinking about backing. And Kelly,
because this matters.
Yeah, well, it helps you if you're looking for those sides, but also if you're looking for overs in a lot of these situations. Mm-hmm. So here are mine. I really like the Eagles, and it's less about the starter. It's more about after. One, Tanner McKee and Andy Dalton are going to battle out. Cole Payton was a guy at the FCS level that people were really high on. So I think this is a really fun trio where you know they know how to operate an offense. Indianapolis, say whatever you want about Anthony Richardson as an NFL quarterback starting a real game. In the preseason, that arm strength, the scrambling, the ability to extend plays is an X factor. But also, Riley Leonard, mobile guy, has experience. Mm-hmm. Easton Stick battling for Riley Leonard's job. I like that third quarterback battle when you have two guys duking it out. And both those guys have experience in that role. I love Cleveland. It's less because Shador and Deshaun Watson. It's more because Dylan Gabriel and Taylen Green. Dylan Gabriel wants to prove he's an NFL quarterback. Taylen Green is a freak of nature. He's like 6'6". Mm-hmm. He's fast as all. He could play wide receiver or tight end if he wanted to. And I think he's going to showcase what he can do with Cleveland in the preseason. Tennessee, I think Mitch Trubisky, Will Levis, Hendon Hooker. Hendon Hooker, Will Levis, similar. Fighting to stay on. And then Kansas City, after Mahomes and Fields, Nussmeier and Chris Oludokun, who popped a little bit last year. That is a really nice group there.
Yeah, that's I like your list. I got a couple other different ones that are different. I like the Browns, Colts notes. Those are good, though. Eagles, we share. That was one of my top teams. Tanner McNeil, we've been hearing about him for a couple years now. I think he's going to get a lot of leash this preseason. And like you said, to get Andy Dalton, experienced quarterback back there. Minnesota, we have a true quarterback battle, it looks like, at least to begin here. So we'll see how long that lasts. But you're going to see a lot of J.J. McCarthy, Carson Wentz with that NFL experience, picking on some of the backups. Kansas City, you brought up. I'm with you there. Seahawks, look, it's Drew Lock and Jalen Milroe. I think you're getting a lot of Jalen Milroe. And then the Bears, some Tyson Bagent, Case Keenum, Miller Moss.
Should we jump on the LSU hype train?
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rolling on a Thursday morning. Football is back, baby. You can smell it in the air. Pads are going to be clanging later in Canton, Ohio. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That's Kelly Bidlin. We got the Hall of Fame game tonight. We'll look at it a little bit more later on in the program. I have a parlay that we're cooking up in the quote-unquote lab this morning.
Oh, really? Where's that lab at?
It's my brain. It's a terrible place to be. It's definitely not regulated by any government agencies. If Aaron Rodgers is listening, I know he's very, very much keyed in on that right now these days. Our next guest, he's keyed in on everything, and he's informed me that there's tennis happening this week. I was unaware. Apparently, there's multiple events going on.
In North America.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think we're in Canada right now.
Is that where Gil is? Is Gil at a tennis event, maybe? Is that why I'm here?
No.
He's not at tennis?
No. He's probably watching on the couch right now. ATP Montreal and WTA Toronto.
If I was on vacation and I woke up before 8 a.m. to watch tennis, it'd be the worst vacation of my life. Not going to lie. We'll ask our next guest about that. He is Zachary Cohen. He is the host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, Breaking Down the NBA, available wherever you get your podcast. He's also the VSiN senior editor. The College Football Betting Guide is splendiferous. I encourage everyone to check it out. And he also breaks down tennis all the time over at VSiN.com, at Betting on X, where you can find him on social media. Where is the tennis this week? And if you were on vacation, would you wake up at the 7 a.m. hour to watch tennis?
Yeah, so it is in Canada, and this is a pretty big tournament. It's a 1,000-level event for both the men and the women, so as you know, close as you could be to a slam without being a slam. And yeah, funny question you just asked, because on my honeymoon, I was watching Sinner versus Alcaraz at the French Open on my phone, and it was like a 5.5-hour match, and I just remember being at like several meals watching it on my phone and driving my wife insane.
Presses me.
I was going to say, this is like this biggest stone cold lock of the show is that Zach Cohen, yes, has been up before 8 a.m. watching a tennis match on vacation. That one was easy.
That is probably the most depressing thing anyone's ever said on this network. I'm not going to lie. I'm just not going to lie. We'll get to your tennis in a moment. Let's talk about, first of all, the College Football Betting Guide is incredible. You, Adam Burke, the whole team, you put this thing together. And I thought the Heisman stuff that you wrote about was amazing. Mostly because I agree with all of them. They're all guys that I have bookmarked. I want to ask you about this. How many wins does Oklahoma State need for us to be live with Drew Mestemaker? Because I think you wrote 72-1. That's about where I saw it. I think a few months ago it was like 80-something-1. Eric Morris goes to Stillwater, but that kid put up crazy numbers whenever he's had a chance the last like year plus. Do they need to win 6-7 games? Because I feel like if he has like 40 touchdowns, we're in the conversation here. And I don't think that's crazy for them with their defense.
Yeah, I think that we are more or less on like an alternate over of 6.5 with Oklahoma State or something. I think they need to have a winning record. I think I wrote 8 in the guide, but like the numbers that he has put up at North Texas were like astronomical. And I do think that offense is going to translate because they brought everybody over. I think it's going to be a really strong situation for him moving up to a higher competition. And I think he's up for it. I mean, I think this is a guy we're going to be talking about as a potential number one in the NFL draft of the year. So I think he's going to be, you know, in the conversation all year. Like you said, it's just a matter of will they win enough games? And that's going to come down to the defense, which does not have a lot of returning starters, but we just have to hope for the best. I mean, the Big 12 is going to be very competitive, but I do think there are going to be wins there for them, at least some very close games that he has the chance to steal.
Well, and you bring up the defense. That's part of the reason why I like him. It's also why I won my Jaden Daniels bet a few years ago, because the LSU defense was so bad that they were just constantly in shootouts. By the way, Kelly's not happening, whatever's happening in the golf right now. He just made a gesture where I was like, what is going on? He's locked in on someone and he does not like them.
So I got Jordan Smith for a first round leader bet. I just had a chip shot out on a par 5 to set him up with an easy birdie putt and just completely whiffed it.
Oh my God. Yeah, all right. I want to ask you about two more Heismans. Then we're going to get to win totals you like. I'm with you on Mateer, and JVT got annoyed at me because I said I would take Mateer over Arch Manning right now today. And I think based on what I've seen, I would still take John Mateer over him. He's coming off an injury. And then Marcel Reed at 30-1. Why is he being so disrespected at A&M? He still has weapons. He's a mobile guy. They've said they're going to use his legs more. I feel like we're taking crazy pills not a lot of people are fighting for Marcel Reed and John Mateer.
Yeah, so with Mateer, like, I just feel like everyone that watched the start of last season saw a Heisman-caliber quarterback, and obviously the thumb injury that he suffered, he ends up coming back from it a little too soon. He was not the same once he came back against Texas, but by all accounts, he sounds healthy heading into this season. I saw that he did a grip test and everything was as strong as ever, and this is somebody that can run. It's a quarterback that was making, you know, strides as a passer, and it's another situation like with Mestemaker where it's like, this is a guy playing in an offense that he knows at the back of his hand. And Oklahoma is a team that a lot of people are high on. I believe Pick Six Previews has them as like a top five team in the country. And I just think if Mateer, you know, in Oklahoma win nine games and he's putting up big numbers, he's going to be right back in the mix again. And then with Marcel Reed, it's interesting because like he struggled towards the end of last season when they started facing some really tough defenses. And there were definitely some games last year where he was a little bit more of a game manager than a playmaker. But that is somebody that, like you said, has electric legs. He has gotten better as a passer every year he's been in college, and they have good receivers. They have a good offensive line. And that is a program that, you know, it wouldn't surprise anyone if they win 9 or 10 games. So I don't know. I feel like he has a similar case to what we've seen with other running quarterbacks in the past. And last year he didn't end up getting invited to New York, but he was really close, about as close as he could have been. He was probably sixth or seventh in that conversation.
Zach Cohen is our guest, VSiN senior editor at Betting on X, where you can find him on social, and the VSiN betting guide available over at VSiN.com. Check out the deal we're offering right now, VSiN.com/subscribe. I won't bring up Darian Mensah because I think everyone on this network is sick of me making the case, but that is my favorite Heisman case for the year. Talk to me about LSU. There's a lot of people in the betting spaces very down on the Bayou Bengals this year. First year Lane Kiffin. Feels like it's personal that they just don't like Lane Kiffin and how he handled Ole Miss. Because if all this talent comes together, Zach, this is a playoff team. It's arguably a top three roster in the nation. How do you want to handle betting them in the futures market?
Yeah, I mean, I think that over 8.5 wins is a really safe way to start. I did sprinkle a little bit for them to make the college football playoff, but I do think it's personal. I think a lot of people hear Lane Kiffin's name and they start to snicker. I think this is a guy that has proven at every stop so far that he's going to win. He's going to win very, very quickly. And you said it, the roster is absolutely loaded, especially on offense, which is where, you know, Kiffin's teams kind of make their money. I mean, you look at Sam Levin at quarterback. This is somebody that was very successful at Arizona State. The offensive line should be a lot better. They have a ton of talent at running back, and the receivers he brought in are insane, including Eugene Wilson, who I think is going to be one of the best receivers in the nation in this LSU offense. And then defensively, I thought it was massive that he was able to bring back Blake Baker. I mean, that's been one of the best defensive coordinators in college football for years and did a really good job of turning around a miserable LSU defense already. So I just think he's going to continue to trend in the right direction. And sure, the SEC is going to be very, very competitive, but this is a team that I expect to win a lot of home games, and I think they're going to be able to win some road games. So I don't know. I think when you look at the roster on paper, this is a team that's very similar to some of the teams that we are talking about as potential national champions. It's just Lane Kiffin is the head coach.
All right, Zach, real quick. I know these are up at VSiN.com as well, but two tennis bets today. Roll through those quick for us, and then I got one NBA question for you.
Okay, yeah. I have Junshen Shang, who also goes by Jerry, at minus 117 against Luciano Dardari. That starts, and I think in both of these matches, actually, start in about 10 minutes. But Dardari is just 13-34 at the ATP level on hard courts. He's somebody that has been more comfortable on clay throughout his career, and going up against a lefty could be problematic for him because, you know, Shang's lefty forehand cross court will be finding Dardari's weaker backhand. So I think there's a pretty big mismatch here. Then I have Talia Gibson. I gave this out at plus 136 yesterday to beat Ekaterina Alexandrova. It's down at plus 104 now, but I would still take it at plus money odds. Alexandrova was 47-25 last year, but she's just 12-18 this year, and her hold rate is down from about 75% to below 70%. Just really struggling this season, and Gibson beat her at Indian Wells. So I think that this is a matchup that I view as a little bit closer to a 50-50, but maybe probably like 55-45 in Gibson's favor. So anything plus money is a play for me on Gibson.
All right, real quick, 15 seconds, Zach. You've got two names to give me for most improved player in the NBA, because I think this market's wide open. Who has jumped out to you on that that market?
Oh, God, I have to pull up the odds really quickly. Why don't you tell me who you like while I do that?
No, you don't have time. Modest Buzelis, I think I like him at 40-1. I think he's going to make a big leap here with Chicago.
You guys are aware they haven't played a game yet, right?
Yeah.
I'm just making sure.
But now, they're going to improve from last year.
Yeah, I know.
Awards just came out.
I feel like you're in the mix for this award every year.
Oh, yeah, I love it. This is your award. He has a chance every year. Yeah, I love it.
The second he steps in the gym, he's got a chance.
He's Zach Cohen. I think... Yeah, go ahead.
All right, sorry, just going to throw Naz Reid. I think that that's somebody that we'll see jump into a bigger role in Charlotte, and I could see him being somebody that, you know, ends up being a factor there.
I'm just going to throw a random name at you guys that jumps out to me. We're going to go
You and I are talking
more Walker Kessler, guy. 40-1.
I actually don't hate that.
Because I think the Snowtime Lakers is the best nickname in the history of sports.
Yep. If he can stay healthy, I think he's live there.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate you, buddy. That's Zach Cohen, VSiN senior editor. Read everything he wrote up in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide up at VSiN.com. We're going to look at most fewest wins in the NFL. I don't know how this team doesn't have the least amount of wins. That's next.